The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from Curtis Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. We are also streaming on Facebook Live as we get rolling on a Tuesday afternoon, and we have a busy darn show for you today. Coming up right after Ursula's News at 12:30, a listener reached out to me because she was at the YMCA, where she goes three times a week, in Gig Harbor, and one of the employees came up and said that the T-shirt she was wearing was unacceptable because it triggered some of her fellow Y patrons. What did the T-shirt say? Well, you're just going to have to listen at 12:30 this afternoon to find out. But she'll share the whole story with us. And then also I'm going to talk with our transportation specialist, Chris Sullivan, about the eco-terrorism going on from the most criminally corrupt public agency in the history of the United States of America, Sound Transit. Every day as I drive up I-5 and I see the swath of destruction, these beautiful, tall timber trees that have provided so much serenity and buffer and sanctuary, nesting areas for birds. They are in the process of cutting down 5,000 gorgeous trees to replace them with big concrete tracts. It's so ugly. And of course, as you know, Sound Transit's technology, their trains, are going to be obsolete. Trains are from the 1800s, and Sound Transit's technology is going to be completely obsolete long before this thing even gets built. But they're destroying the environment. They are uglifying our region, and we'll talk with Chris Sullivan more about that later on this afternoon. And with all that as mere prelude, let's get right to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead, top story.
It has become a major national story that is being ignored by too many in the local media. Dow Constantine, the King County executive, as we told you yesterday, Dow Constantine is in violation of contracts and federal laws because he told the feds, and specifically ICE, he told them that they can no longer use Boeing Field to fly deportees out of the region. And I went through the details of this, but I want to illustrate how Seattle is being perceived around the country because of our insanity politically. So in case you weren't listening yesterday, but just the bare details of this, in the past 8 years, 34,000 illegals have been deported through Boeing Field. We have a detention center, federal detention center in Tacoma. And these are people who are in the country illegally, and almost every single one of them has committed yet another crime that has landed them before a judge. And that crime could be, and has been, rape, murder, child molestation, human sex trafficking, and on and on. I mean, drugs. It's really, really bad, bad people. A judge has adjudicated the charges against them and has ruled that they should be deported out of the United States. So Dow Constantine, a couple of weeks ago, in a mafia-like bit of thuggery, Dow Constantine said, I am going to be more important than federal law. Dow Constantine, who, by the way, law enforcement hates Dow Constantine. And I know this for a fact because I have a lot of sources in the King County Sheriff's Office and beyond. And they have made it very clear to me how they feel about the King County executive. And we will have lots more on that in the days to come here. But Dow Constein has no respect from law enforcement. One of the reasons is, here you have ICE, a federal law enforcement agency. They don't make the rules. They merely carry out the rules, the law of the land, in trying to keep our nation safer. And one of the things they do is they help arrange transport to get illegal criminals out of the country. Maybe they've already done prison time for the rape and murder they've committed, and then after they get out of prison, it's time to go back out of America. And so over the last 8 years, 34,000 illegals have been deported out of Boeing Field. Dow Constein decided that he wants to be the savior of these illegals who are rapists and murderers. Why? I said yesterday, there is no rational other side of this story, because they still have to be deported. So what Dow Constein did was he went to private businesses that service planes in and out of Boeing Field, and he said, if you fuel or service these ICE flights, I will strip away your county contracts. You'll lose all your business. I will run you out of business. And the feds have sent Dow Constein a letter, and they've said you're in violation of federal law. The feds give Boeing tens of millions of dollars in grants. And one of the terms of those grants is that they have to fly federal flights in and out of Boeing, including ICE deportees. And so Dow Constein, in what is truly a mafia-like move, he, I'll run you right out of business here. You don't help out me getting rid of ICE, I'll get rid of you. It's illegal. It should be, our attorney general should be looking into whether these are actions that should land Dow Constein in prison. And I really mean that. When you leverage your power so abusively to try to crush private businesses. So this has become a big national story, because once again, it establishes that our region has become the most radical in the country. And we're all seeing and feeling the ramifications of the radicalization of the Puget Sound area. We're seeing it with the heroin needles everywhere and the home break-ins and the car smash and grabs. We're seeing it everywhere on Fox News. Their terrific Northwest reporter, Dan Springer, he did a story yesterday that aired in multiple day parts on Fox News. And I talked to Dan. I had him on the show. He used me in one of the stories he did. But as this story started to get national attention, and this is what's mind-blowing to me, that last night a Boston radio station called me. And one of the big heritage news stations in the United States, WBZ in Boston. They do a live show from Boston time. I think it's 9 p.m. to 1 a.m. So they asked me if I'd come on in their 10 o'clock hour last night. And we spent a half hour talking about the insanity of King County. And a bunch of things struck me. One, I'm talking a lot about the politics that clearly are destroying so much of what we love about this region. But elsewhere in the media, it seems that Boston cares more about the insanity here than many Seattle media outlets. And the other thing that struck me, the host on this show in Boston, a guy named Dan Ray, He's been a journalist. He did a bunch of stories involving the mob and Whitey Bulger as a television journalist. He's been a journalist back there for over 30 years. And as I'm talking to him last night and to all the listeners in Boston, it was interesting just to hear a bit of a national perspective of how people view our home, our region here. The city of Seattle looks to me like it is quickly becoming a total disaster area.
It is. It's really sad because I grew up here. I'm native born. I love this city. I hate what it's become. We have on sidewalks and in city parks, we have tents and tarps. We have homelessness everywhere. Most of the people on the street are drug addicts.
And like so many people around the country, Seattle used to be just this beautiful, prized destination. Everybody wanted to come and see Seattle. But I think this guy sums up how people are increasingly viewing our region because of the, you know, insane and, in Dow Constantine's case, thuggish politicians around here.
You say you've never been out here. You wouldn't believe your eyes.
I have no intention of ever going out there. As a matter of fact, I now root against the Seahawks and against the Mariners. By the way, I want to take a break.
Is a Boston guy rooting against the Seahawks? I've never heard of that before.
No. The Seahawks, yeah. We love to play the Seahawks in the Super Bowl. Every time we play the Seahawks, we win.
You start with me,
we win. Come through that phone line after you, mister. So other people around the country, and you know, they're turning to our show to get some perspective because so many people are ignoring the mafia don tactics of Dow.
Well, I would just again suggest to any of my listeners who happen to be drug addicts or homeless, please come to Seattle, Washington. And get out of here. Dory, I feel so badly for you, but I'll tell you this. I'll be listening to your show the next couple of days just to see how it's developing out there.
It's not developing very well. But that's just a little slice, a little glimpse of how national media and media in other cities, how they perceive us. And we must stop giving a free pass to – but here's the challenge. As I said, with Dow Constantine, it appears to me he's already gotten a letter from the Department of Justice, from the Department of Transportation, saying that to threaten private businesses, telling them that they no longer can serve federal law enforcement agency out of Boeing, and the illegals are still getting deported. It's just that instead of riding a bus 40 minutes from Tacoma to Boeing, they got to ride a bus handcuffed for 3 hours from Tacoma to Yakima, and they get flown out there. So it's costing us a fortune. Also, he can make a little grandstanding move. And again, what's the thinking? Well, yeah, they might be horrible. They might be rapists. They might be murderers. They might be child molesters. They might be human sex traffickers. But to counterbalance all of that, they're illegals. And Dow, in the twisted mind of people like Dow Constantine, there is some kind of nobility about being in this country illegally that counterbalances being a rapist. And so if we had an attorney general who did his job, but Bob Ferguson's in the tank for all of this, governors off trying to, court more of AOC's social media following. And so he's not going to do or say anything. And plus, he agrees with what's happening. But we have a rogue, out of control party that is putting law enforcement at risk, putting American citizens at risk. The brother of slain Kittitas County Deputy Ryan Thompson. And yes, I will keep his name in the news when everybody else tries to let it fade off into the sunset. A law enforcement officer in our state murdered by an illegal. And his brother Aaron came on my show and said, Jay Inslee has blood on his hands. The people are on the streets. And then there's another example why law enforcement despises our political leadership around here. The family told Inslee, we will not allow you at our loved one's memorial service. They kicked the governor of the state out of the memorial service. So there you go. There's a glimpse of what's going on in how people are viewing our region. And as long as we allow the thugs, the one-party thugs, to watch each other's back. It's up to you and me to make sure that some sense of control and order is maintained. And as I've told you, we got a lot more coming down the turnpike here. Got some stories we're working on that will illustrate just how bad some of these local politicians are. I've got some exclusives coming up in the next week or so that are going to blow your mind. Next up in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, big local.
And then you have what happened in Burien. Burien, which has become, Burien used to be a cute little suburban town. Really did. When I was a kid, Burien was a cute little place. Now you have gangs everywhere. You have random shootings. You have teenagers getting murdered. And, of course, they never find the killer. You have receptionists sitting at their desk, and a stray bullet kills them in the middle of an afternoon. And the latest out of Burien, prosecutors yesterday charged a 51-year-old Burien man with luring and second-degree assault for trying to drag a 14-year-old girl into his pickup truck. The 51-year-old man, Ezequiel Medina Vasquez, a citizen of Mexico. He's been deported from this country before. He was deported in 2007, came back in. He was deported in 2014, came back in. In 2017, he was arrested for entering the country illegally, but he's back on the streets, where he was able to attempt a sexual assault against a 14-year-old girl. Now, remember what Jay Inslee tells us about people like Ezequiel Medina Vasquez.
While they're waiting for their asylum hearings, we're welcoming them to the state of Washington because we have found these folks frequently become pillars of our community.
Yep, the illegal who murdered Ryan Thompson. Pillar of our community. The illegal who tried to sexually assault a 14-year-old girl in Burien. Pillar of our community. This is mental illness that we are hearing around here. We have the most lax laws. We're attracting drug vagrants. We're attracting illegals. We're seeing the ramifications of it on our streets. We're seeing, you know, the woman who gets raped at the car dealership in Ballard by a drug vagrant. Kelly Heron, our friend who was, there was an attempted violent sexual assault on her at Golden Gardens by a drug vagrant who came here from another state. You have a twice deported illegal. Washington's the best place to be if you're an illegal because we got sanctuary everything. And you got a governor who tells everybody that you're a pillar of the community. What a great place to come and abduct 14-year-old girls. When will the madness stop? That is your Big Lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Ursula's going to check the news. And then a listener who contacted me because the staff at the Gig Harbor Y said her T-shirt was making other patrons uncomfortable. What did it say? It's coming up next on the Dory Monson Show. I'm not one for wearing my politics on a bumper sticker or on clothing. I just don't really care to bring attention to myself when I'm out in public. I remember one time I was at a Mariners game with my oldest daughter, who at the time was only about 7 or 8 years old. It was at the Kingdom. And there was a guy walking in the street right adjacent to the Kingdom. And he had on a T-shirt, huge block letters, had written out the F word. And it just said, F you. And my daughter was shocked. And she said, is that allowed, Dad? I said, yeah, it's legal. It's allowed. I go, it says a lot more about that guy than it says about anyone else. But just ignore. If you see something that you don't like, you just ignore it. That's what we should all do. I've seen a lot of stuff over the years about, you know, from people on the far left of the spectrum who cannot stand anyone who doesn't view the world the way they do. And what do I care? It's none of my business what they want to wear on their clothes. And that's why I was so fascinated by a Facebook message that we got from listener Donna in Gig Harbor, who joins us here on Cairo Radio. Hey, Donna, good to talk to you this afternoon.
Hey, good to talk to you also.
Okay, I'm just going to read a little bit of your message to us, and then I want to talk with you about it. So
sure.
You said, I'm an avid listener from Gig Harbor. I belong to the YMCA in Gig Harbor. After dropping off my youngest of six kids at school, six kids, Donna. How old are your kids?
You know, they range in age from 27 to 9.
Nice.
I've got a little caboose.
There you go. Okay, after dropping off the youngest of six kids at school, I go for my daily run 2 to 3 times a week. I go to the Y after my run. I've been doing this for over 10 years. On Friday, I changed into a T-shirt to work out. My running top was sweaty from the run. I know most of the staff at the Y and many of the people who work out when I do. I have many friends there. I talk to everyone. I'm a very friendly person. After my workout, as I was about to leave, a staff member approached me to tell me that someone complained about my T-shirt and that I should not be wearing it at the Y. It made someone feel uncomfortable, and the Y is an inclusive place. So, Donna, what was on this horrible, vile T-shirt that somebody feel unwelcome?
Well, first I want to tell you that I haven't. This T-shirt is over 15 years old, and it was in my workout bag, and I didn't put it on thinking I'm going to make a statement. I just put it on black. It matched my shorts.
Yeah, I got a bunch of shirts like that. Okay.
It was an old Michael Savage T-shirt. I listened to him way back when.
The Firebrand conservative radio talk show host. Okay.
And it says on the back, liberalism is a mental disorder.
Okay.
And apparently that triggered someone. And I was flabbergasted when this person, it was kind of like she ambushed me. She was waiting for me to leave. She came down the stairs and approached me, and I feel bad for it because this girl, they probably told her to do it. But
yeah,
retrospectively, I'm just going to tell you that I really don't think it was someone who belongs to the Y that complained. I think it was staff members.
Oh, really?
Because... yeah, I really do, because unless they're having people on the watch out after that, because, like, I went in yesterday and, you know, above we have a track and you can see, and they have, like, a member standing there watching everybody walking out like she's looking to see if there's something offensive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I told you, I talk to everybody. I'm really talkative and I'm friendly, and whether you're black, white, liberal, conservative, you're my friend.
Sure.
And I couldn't believe it. I said, why couldn't this person come up to me? And I said, there's a lot of things at the YMCA that offend me. I said, your transgender bathroom policy. I said, you know, there's shirts, there's tattoos that I don't like. There's women with their body parts hanging out. I just look the other way. I don't come to you and say, this person needs to leave.
Well, I have certainly seen an awful lot of clothing all around the Puget Sound area the last couple of years that say vile things about the President of the United States, using the F word on clothing. Same thing. I look at it and I don't think about it for more than 2 seconds because it doesn't really concern me and it doesn't affect me.
Right. And I don't want to waste my energy over it.
Yeah. So,
you know, so this was just.
So what did you say when they told you? I mean, and were they telling you that you couldn't wear that shirt, that you had to take it off? What was the message?
They said, you know, you shouldn't wear that shirt at the Y because it's an all-inclusive place. And that's when I kept on saying, I can't believe it. Like, I was shocked. Like, it just totally took me by surprise. And I said, I can't believe this. And I told her my feelings on things that, you know, that what I believe, you know, and I said, what about free speech? So then I went in to tell my friend, because she had just complimented me on the shirt. She said, I really like that shirt.
Okay.
So when I told her, she said, did you tell him that you just got a compliment on it? So I went out, back out before I left to like where the where you check in. And I said, you know, I just got a compliment on this shirt. And they were just so condescending to me. I kept telling the person, don't treat me like a child. She said, don't yell. And I said, I'm not yelling. I'm raising my voice, but I'm not yelling.
No.
And they treated me just, it was very condescending, like to, you know, calm me down and, you know, just leave. And, you know, I wasn't screaming or anything.
Sure.
But I just kept on saying, I can't believe this. I really can't believe this is happening.
Well, and it is such a one-way street, because it seems like the only people who are getting triggered to this extent these days are on the far left. And so I'm fairly confident they would not say something to somebody who wore an equivalent shirt that was saying something negative about conservatives.
That is exactly right. That is exactly right. And so I just felt like, you know, because I'm trying to, you know, I teach my kids, you know, sticks and stones will hurt, you know, hurt your bones, names, you know, just,
yeah.
You can't, you have to ignore things. Because
yeah.
If you didn't, you'd go nuts.
Yeah.
And here they're promoting, you know.
Well, and this is a place where they get some public funding. It's a private organization, but they get some public funding, and it's a place where it should be open to all people, regardless of their political ideology. And
right.
So I think it's a bigger issue than just, you know, you, Donna, in your T-shirt. It's just how it's the tyranny of the left and, you know, the people who talk the most about being inclusive and welcoming and diverse, they will not accept any thought that dares stray from their little bubble.
No, that's true, because, you know, it's funny because I see it all the time, but you never think it's going to happen to you.
Yeah.
And in Gig Harbor, it's very liberal. And so you go in the YMCA parking lot and you see all the Bernie stickers, the Hillary stickers,
yeah.
But no one dares put a Trump sticker because they're afraid their cars are going to get keyed.
Sure.
So it's just that's how it is.
Well, and the other thing about this whole episode is, you know, the phrase on your shirt, liberalism is a mental disorder. The reaction to your shirt kind of proves the words that are on your shirt. If that's how upset people get just because they see somebody else's T-shirt.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
So
exactly,
where does this right. all stand? Where'd you leave it with the folks at the Y?
Well, with I know someone who works there, you know, is higher up. I can't remember. And I asked to see him that day. And they said, oh, he's not here right now. So I haven't seen him yet because I've spoken to many friends and they're like, you need to take this to the top, you know, to talk about this. And you would think that someone after this, like someone would come up to me and say, you know, we heard what happened and, you know, explain it or something like that. But instead, just when I go there, I know they're looking at my shirt.
Yeah.
And you know, my son's in the military, in the Air Force, and I said, you know, kiddingly, you know, is someone going to get triggered if I wear my Air Force shirt? Because they're anti-military.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's just, I guess you can only laugh at it.
yeah. And you said you should take it to the top. You're on my radio show, Donna. You have taken
That's
it to
exactly
the top.
Right.
Yeah,
that's exactly because you know when I got home, you know, I was so upset, and I called my one friend, and she's conservative, and she's like, "You need to contact Dori Monson." So I was like, "You're right."
There you go. Well, so final question: are you going to wear that shirt to the Y again?
You know, I don't know. My friend said I should wear my MAGA shirt, my MAGA hat the next day. I didn't because I was like, "This is horrible." Because I'm like, maybe they're going to kick me out. Like, I feel like that because they do that. They don't like, say, I know so many people who have got, like, suspended for a couple of months because, like, maybe they, someone told a joke that someone didn't like.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to believe this. So he got suspended. Like, his membership was put on hold for, like, a couple of months.
Oh,
they do this. That's just why.
Well, I'd be fascinated. If you wear that shirt or you wear your hat again, let me know. Drop me a message. Let me know what the reaction is. I'd be fascinated. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, I will.
Okay,
I will.
And I got your back, Donna, okay?
All right, thank you very much.
Okay, it's good talking with you. Thanks for reaching out to me.
Good talking to you, too.
Okay, bye-bye. There's Donna in Gig Harbor who got reprimanded, scolded at the Y in Gig Harbor because of a T-shirt she wore. Love to hear your thoughts. You can text us, 98973. That's the Online Trading Academy text line, 98973. Lots more straight ahead. On the Dory Monson Show. One of the greatest blessings, one of many great blessings in my life is I love what I do for a living. And you know, to be able to have something that you do professionally that you are so passionate about is... It's a blessing. That's all I can say. One of the things that I've thought about an awful lot is, you know, as an old basketball coach, I kind of look at life as a four-quarter game. Each quarter is about 20 years long. And my first quarter, I was a slow starter. Didn't get off to a quick start in life. Then the second quarter, you know, battled hard. Just started to outwork the opponent. Third quarter, things have been really good. Really good. And I'm a couple years away from, the end of the third quarter. So fourth quarter's coming up, the final quarter. And you do a lot of soul searching about, what do you want to do in that final quarter of your life? And is there anything else that I could do that I would be as passionate about as this radio show every day? And I've mentioned this before. I saw yet another story today about how millions of Americans are just one paycheck away from financial disaster. Nearly half of the country's workforce, according to a University of Chicago study, 51% of working adults in the United States would need to access some emergency savings if they missed more than one paycheck. And that is something that can be so easily rectified by individuals. Government's not going to rectify that. But if people started planning when they're in their 20s and 30s, and I've been working with my daughter so much, and that is something I would love to do, is work with people on the little steps that are, you're hardly going to feel the ramifications of those little steps on a day-to-day basis. But by doing things the right way early on, by taking care of yourself, paying yourself first, making sound financial decisions that are not beyond your means, you can have a rewarding financially, where you're taking care of yourself and you're not worried, you don't have that stress. And that's something I've been thinking about a lot, because that would be so fulfilling to work with people. So, someday that's something that I think I'd like to do, is work with people so that we can get that sovereignty, freedom, be free from that stress and all of that. So, who knows? Someday. But right now, the third quarter is pretty darn good. Best 15's next.